What a nice song that was, Joe, to lead into the message today. I'm lousy at writing down words as they're thinging, but basis of that song was presence of the Lord, wherever he calls, more than I can handle on my own, and I will call upon your name. And isn't that what service is all about? Is relying on God, going where he calls. So, the message today is out of Romans. It's on the actual back of your bulletin. There's no separate insert. And I don't like fill in the blanks because I always forget to fill in the blanks. So I filled them in for you. So the key words are in bold. Peggy did a great job of that for me. And also, when you came in, you got a very cheesy little cheap What Would Jesus Do bracelet. And I'll tell you what that's for in a little while. And then I always get tasked with the Father's Day message. I think it's because usually I'm the only elder here on Father's Day, because usually Joe is in South Dakota with the rest of them. So typically I'm one of the only ones here. So I will tie in Father's Day with the message this morning a little bit. But if you think about it, what is a father called to do? He's called to serve his family. So I think you'll see that the points I'm making in general about Christians, you could substitute the word Christians and put father in there. And I think we'll run pretty good with that. So go ahead and you can start getting to Romans chapter 12. I want to tie in a little bit. I don't know if all of you are here or not. I believe it was the last time I preached, maybe a month and a half ago. I was in the book of John, chapter 15. And one of my questions to you at that time was, what is our purpose? And the short version of that message was, our purpose is to bring glory to God in all that we do. One of the ways we do that is through serving Him. And what I want to talk about today is just some things that the Lord gave me over the last month of just what that should look like in our lives as we walk with God. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. I'll be between verse 1 and 21, somewhere in there, depending on the moment. I wrote all the scripture references I'm going to use are in your handout there, so you can look them up later and refer to them. But I titled the message, A Life of Service. And then next to it, I wrote, Fathers, A Life of Service. Because that's what we as fathers are called to do. We're called to serve and love and take care of our families. God first, family second. So if you're a father, hopefully you've got those two pieces. You've got to have God and you've got to take care of your family. And if we get that out of whack, then we sometimes have troubles. But if you go to the book of Romans, of course, Paul is the main guy here. And Paul is a great example of a life of service. Before his conversion, he was a very good example of a life of service as he persecuted Christians. He did that very well. But after his conversion, he totally committed to serving the Lord. And he gave that wholeheartedly every day. And he is just a great example of what a Christian who is serving and committed to the Lord looks like. And in Romans 12, we're going to see a little bit of that. But your first bullet point there, Christians should live a dedicated life. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Present yourselves as living sacrifices. Now, if you think, there's a few examples in the Bible. Obviously, Paul is one. After his conversion, he totally dedicated his life to serving God. Obviously, Jesus, he was born, died, and was resurrected, all for that. He presented his body on the cross so that we would have forgiveness from sin and be able to come into God's presence someday. So we must let God control our whole mind, body, and spirit. It has to be a total dedicated lifestyle. It can't be a Sunday morning lifestyle or a Wednesday night lifestyle. It has to be something that comes into our being over time as we grow and walk with the Lord, that gets stronger and we're better able to do that. Not an easy thing to do because we are human, we're sinners, the flesh is strong, and we are easily distracted, easily run astray from what we should be doing. But the Word tells us to live a dedicated life, to present ourselves as sacrifices for the Lord. Paul, like I said, is an perfect example. He refers to himself, I believe, and might be in Romans, don't quote me on that, but he says he's a bondservant of Jesus. He has dedicated his life, and no matter what the circumstance, Paul did what he was called to do in his life after his conversion. And that's how we are called to be. We're called to be servants of the Lord and bring through that service to bring glory to Him. So Christians should live a dedicated life. Okay? And the Word also says that we are to be transformed from our sinful nature into someone that can be used by God and then serve Him accordingly. Transformed is a pretty dramatic word. That's not a, I'll be transformed on Sunday. That's a total change of what's going on. And it also says we're not to be conformed to the world. In other words, when we are transformed into a life with Christ in that dedicated way, we can't also be in the world and doing all those worldly things. It's a total change. And it says in verse 2 that we may prove that the will of God is good. We do this because the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Our will is not. We don't know what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing, but the will of God is perfect. So by being transformed and dedicated and serving Him, we show that that is that His will is the will we should be following. Okay. Number 2, Christians should serve abundantly. The word abundant, and if, again, you can fill in the word fathers there. Fathers should serve abundantly. Fathers should serve their families wholeheartedly all the time, be dedicated to them and serve them. The word abundant, if you were to look in a Webster dictionary, large quantity, extremely plentiful, overflowing, abundant. So just beyond, over the top serving is what we are called to do. If you go to Romans, we're going to go with verse 3 through 6. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each of them exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, and so on and so forth. Serve abundantly. But it also says serve with sound judgment and faith. I put that as humility. Serve with humility. Sound judgment. Be a modest view of your own importance. This is not about us serving and patting ourselves on the back. That's not what the Word says. The Word says serve with humility, serve with sound judgment. Do not think more of yourself than you ought. So as you're serving, Rather, it's a father serving his family or a Christian serving the Lord. This is not about patting myself on the back and, oh, look what I did. This is about serving the Lord and doing it for the right reasons and giving God the glory and the credit for it. Those verses also say that we each, many members, one body, but we all have different functions. So remember, if you were to refer to 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, it talks about that, that we all have different things that God has given us that we are good at, bad at, etc. And we certainly need to be using those gifts to serve. Now, my caution here is, if I have the gift of prayer or the gift of some other thing, that doesn't mean I can't serve in any other way. God is forever putting things in our path, ways we can serve. That doesn't mean I only serve in my gifting. I can serve anytime in a variety of ways. But those things that He's gifted us with and given us that function, we absolutely should be developing those skills and talents and gifts so that we can serve abundantly in those areas. There are many ways to serve. We can always, if we are receptive, find something, some way to serve. Look for opportunity. Right now we have 20 people in South Dakota serving. We have a trip to Hope Hill Children's Home coming up the end of August. Another opportunity to serve. We serve locally. A month or so ago, we served up at the new food bank, packing food boxes. But you can serve in a variety of ways. You can be driving down the road, see a guy with a flat tire, and stop and change their tire for him. That's serving and witnessing and ministering. So but you've got to be open and receptive to those opportunities. I think we often get blinded by our own agendas and miss things. So look for those opportunities to serve. And then if we go to verse 6 and 7, the summary is, it says, use them. It says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. Use the gifts God has given you. Okay? When we are dedicated and serve abundantly, then number 3 happens automatically. Christians should love and be joyful. If we flip over one page in my Bible, the Romans 15, verse 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All throughout the Word, it tells us that God wants us to be joyful in what we do. He doesn't want us serving begrudgingly because we're supposed to. He wants us serving joyfully with love at any opportunity. There are, like I said earlier, there are always opportunities to serve. I work in healthcare. If I am open to God's leading, there are often opportunities that I have that I can speak with people, pray with people. And I'm sure each of you have those opportunities. No matter what setting you work in, there are always opportunities to serve, witness, help someone that doesn't know God. And by your example or your service, then that opens a door sometimes to being able to plant some seeds and developing a relationship to where you may lead them to the Lord through that small act of kindness or service. So there's always opportunities. We just need to be looking for those. But we need to do it without expectation of reward or recognition. In the Word, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about prayer. It says, the Word says, at time, go to your secret place and pray. I also know that sometimes we serve and nobody knows we serve because we just do it. We don't come back and get up on the stage and say, hey, last Tuesday I did this, this, and this. Or a lot of times nobody will know that you served, and that's okay, because we're not doing it for that purpose. We're doing it because God gave us an opportunity, we were receptive, and we served. So serve without that expectation of recognition or any reward. You don't help somebody change their tire on the side of the road so they can hand you a 20 and say thank you, right? You do it because it's the thing to do. So when you serve and have those opportunities, do it without that expectation. Just do it because that's what God put in your path to do at that moment. Do it with love. Do it with joy. Do it abundantly. You know, if a guy says, I need a cup of coffee, buy him an entire meal. If, you know, whatever that is, do it abundantly, over the top. If you're going to serve, just go for it. And do it joyfully and in love. Right? I'm going to turn to Jeremiah for a minute. You can turn there or not. It's in your reference there, Jeremiah 31:14. If I can find him here. Maybe I'm not. I lost my page. Sorry. Got him. Jeremiah 31, verse 14. And I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. I read that verse just because if I will be satisfied with God's goodness and abundance, when I serve, that shows. When I am satisfied and serving abundantly out of love, people see that. And then they will be filled with God's goodness and not mine. They'll see God through me. They won't see me. They'll see God as I serve. I don't want them to see Tim. I want them to see God. So if I'm satisfied with God's goodness and abundance, other people will see that as I serve. But I've got to serve. They're only going to see that if I serve with joy, with love, abundantly, etc. If I serve begrudgingly, they're not seeing God, are they? They're seeing me. I don't want them to see me. So you need to serve with love, with joy. Serve abundantly. And fathers, the same. We don't serve our families begrudgingly, I hope. We serve them because we love them. We want to minister to them. We want to take care of them. But we've got to do it with the right attitude. And the attitude that we need to have is that Christ would have. And that's why I gave each of you this little... This came to my mind. These, I don't know, what would Jesus do bracelets? They've been around forever. But I found myself in a situation where I was thinking, how can I help folks to just think of God? Because sometimes, I admit it, I'm a sinner. I work in healthcare. There are a lot of things that just frustrate the dickens out of me. And it's very easy for me to not show the love of God sometimes, just through the frustration and the environment that I'm in. And I know many of you might work in environments where it's really tough sometimes to walk that walk and be that example. So I got online and I ordered a bunch of these. And I've actually been wearing this one for about a month now. Silly little thing. But if I start to get frustrated and I see that thing on my wrist irritating me because I don't wear jewelry, I can't stand it on there. But I haven't taken it off for a month. It reminds me. Sometimes it helps me to take that little step back and say, what would Jesus do right now? I bet it's not what you're thinking. And it helps me to focus back on, okay, take a step back, think, what should you be doing? How should you be acting as you serve, as you do your job? And it actually, funny enough, has helped me a few times. It's like, wait a minute. So as silly as it sounds, put it on and wear it for a couple days. See how it affects what you do and how you act. Because we're called to serve and be witnesses for God. And we want to be good witnesses. We don't want to be bad witnesses. Oftentimes you see Christians that are put into a situation and they are a bad witness. We don't want to be that. We want to be a good witness as we serve. So that's what the bracelet's about. Or maybe you know somebody that needs one. Take an extra. whatever works for you there. But that's what that's about. So that's just a little something for you today. Okay, point number four. Christians should be devoted and love each other. Romans 9:12, 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And it goes on from there. We should be devoted to each other and love each other as well, right? If we're not watching out and take care of each other, it makes serving others a lot harder. So we need to be devoted to each other and taking care of each other as well. Brotherly love, passionate, intense in serving the Lord, joyful and faithful, sharing hospitality. So we need to be doing all those things for each other as well as serving outside. And it's very important that we as a body are strong together. And I think we at LifeTree do a wonderful job with that. We're like one big family clan here. We're just very close and hospitable and love each other, and we have each other's backs. And that's what we're called to do. So these verses just remind us of that, that yes, we need to serve. We need to serve abundantly and joyfully, but we also need to be devoted to each other and love each other. So that's my encouragement today, is to do all those things. Serve. Think, what would Jesus do in that situation? What would Paul do? Whatever it takes to help you with that. But we also need to be watching out for each other. And that goes for dads as well. I know oftentimes a dad is this island in itself, and he may be struggling at home. Well, there are a lot of other dads and other people around that have probably had those same struggles, and they can support and build you up. So don't feel that you have to do it on your own as a dad or as a Christian. We're to be devoted to one another. So be that way. So live a dedicated life, serve abundantly, love and be joyful, be devoted and love each other. Do what Jesus would do. Watch for those opportunities to serve. The reward for faithful service. God promises a great reward, doesn't he? Everyone knows that we have the reward of joining him in heaven someday and all of that. I don't know if anybody's ever read Revelations much, but if you turn to Revelation 21, I want to end with that picture of that reward. So Revelation 21, the actual whole chapter 21 and 22 are very good chapters overall to kind of give you that picture. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It is rather lengthy, and to be honest with you, some of the words when he starts describing what heaven will look like, of the jewels and those kind of things, I can't pronounce the words, I'll be honest with you. But I want to give you a visual. But I want to make a point when I'm done reading this that I think is key. So we're going to go to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them." Heaven itself is a great reward, but let me read that again. God is among men. He shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. God will be among those in heaven. I think that is just an awesome... To me, that was like heaven can be this huge, wonderful place, but God is going to be among them. I think that's just a huge thing. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He who overcomes, that's us in the world. If we overcome the world, if we are transformed from the sinner to a God follower, to a devoted Christian, to someone who serves faithfully, no matter what trials, tribulations, if we do our part, we will overcome. If we overcome all the stuff the world throws at us, we will inherit these things. And God will be among us, or we will be with God. I'm going to jump down to verse 11. It actually gives a little description of heaven. It says, verse 10, And he carried me away in the Spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod. 1,500 miles its length and width and height are equal. Now, depending on which version you're in, it might refer to it as cubits, or there's another measure. But 1,500 miles, its length and its width and its height are equal. That is a pretty good size. And he measured the wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also in angelic measurements. And the materials of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Here's where I'm going to stop, because some of the stones they mention I can't pronounce, and I'm just not going to embarrass myself. But you get the picture. Heaven is a beautiful place. We have that promise of being in heaven one day if we are faithful and overcome, and God will walk with us in heaven. If you ever want to do a side study, as I was reading, I noticed the number 12 is repeated over and over. 12 is the perfect number. It's a number of completeness and of God's power and authority. So if you ever want to do a study on the significance of numbers, it's actually pretty cool how God uses certain things as a way of completeness and perfect. And, you know, 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 tribes, et cetera, et cetera. I just found it fascinating. So if you ever want to study numbers, that's a good place to do it. So serve a dedicated life. Live a dedicated life. Serve abundantly. Serve with love. Be joyful. Be devoted to one another. And the promise is a reward of heaven with God among us. Doesn't get any better than that. But we have to do our part. We have to overcome the world and do what we're called to do as Christians. And I'm going to close by asking all the dads to join me. The altar call today is I'm going to pray for the fathers, basically. It is Father's Day. There's a few of us here. And being a father is one of those things that I don't think gets the measure it deserves. Being a father is hard. If anybody, how many fathers? I think we've got like nine of us, eight or nine of us. We have to get Luke out of the back. Can somebody go get Luke? He's over with the kids. Have him come in here too. Brittany's back there, so the kids will be all right. Then we're not just leaving them back there. But I want to just take a minute to just pray for the fathers, because being a father is hard work. God calls us to serve and do all those things, but He calls us to be fathers. And being a father is a hard, never-ending, challenging job. And I just want to take a minute to pray for our fathers. We also have a gift for our fathers, which, coincidentally enough, I didn't look at these beforehand. I'm going to open one of them. I'm a father, so I can. Maybe. Built to Serve, a devotional for fathers. I had no idea that this was in this bag when I talked about service, so God's got a good sense of humor. Devotions for Men, Built to Serve, and a nice coffee mug if you're a father who drinks coffee. By love, serve one another. You can't put other drinks in a coffee mug. Well, we got to be careful. We have a Starbucks representative in the audience today. That's actually kind of cool. Built to Serve. By love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. That's pretty cool. Okay, so I'm going to close with praying for our fathers. So all our fathers, come up here to the front. You didn't think you were going to get away without some embarrassment today, so come on. At least I didn't ask who was the oldest father and who has the most kids and all that stuff. But I do want to take a minute to pray for the fathers. So you guys gather around. And then if anybody wants to come up and lay a gentle hand on any of these fathers, not children laying hand on your father, but if you want to come pray with them, you can come up and pray too. So as I close, Father, I thank you, Lord, for being in this place. I thank you, Lord, for fathers and for the role you've given us. Lord, I know being a parent in general, father, mother, it doesn't matter. It's a tough job. But Lord, you have called all the men in this room that are before me to be fathers. And that means they have to be the head of their household, which means they have to know you and have a relationship with you first and foremost. Because, Father, your word tells them how to be a father, what they are to do, how they are to act, how they are to handle things. So, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each of these men that is fathers today, that you would give them that desire to have that relationship with you that they need, so that they can then serve and love their families abundantly beyond measure like they are called to do. Help them to be good husbands to their spouses, good fathers to their children. And just watch over them, Lord. Have your hand upon them, because each day they will be challenged. They will have struggles in that parenting role. But Lord, help them also to see the highlights of that parenting role, the outcomes, Lord, when their children grow up to be strong Christians and their children then teach their children. They are the model, the role model for their children, Lord. So I just pray for each of these men, Lord, that you would just strengthen them, be with them each moment of each day as they walk in that role. I thank you, Lord, for being with us today. I ask, Lord, that as we leave this place, that you would just be with us. If there are any other prayer needs, the altars are open. Folks can come forward as we wrap up today. But just thank you, Lord, again for being in this place with us today. Continue to be with those in South Dakota as they minister this week. And just, we love you, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory. And Lord, help us to be transformed in an amazing way so that we can serve you abundantly beyond what we can imagine, Lord, you have for us to do. So I thank you, Lord, for all that you are going to do through these men as they serve as fathers and as we all serve you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can get your gift now or you can come back later. It doesn't matter. You want to do, you're going to do the songs? Just do one. Yeah, pick the one you had for the last one. Whichever, whatever one you wanted to do that you thought was good.